for today's shiur. Here we go. Source number one. Vayigdilu ha'ne'arim. So right. So we start. Parashas told us with Yitzchak and Rivka davening, and they have twin boys. We're not going to talk about how they come, but now the boys grow up. Vayigdilu ha'ne'arim. Vayi Esav ish yodei atzad ish sadeh. Yaakov ish tam yoshev oli. So they grow up. Esav becomes a person who understands hunting, a man of the field. And Yaakov is an ishtam, a simple person, Yoshev Ohalim, who sits in tents, whatever that means exactly. And what happens? The famous pasuk that troubles all of us. And what happens? Yitzchak loves Esav because he ate of his trappings, as it says here. Right? He feeds him. Rivka heves es Yaakov, and Rivka loves Yaakov. Why?
No reason.
Okay. Okay? This bothers us. Why does it bother us?
Is the first time we see playing favorites?
Oh, are they playing favorites? Aren't both parents supposed to love both children?
Does it mean that Yitzchak didn't love Yaakov?
And does it really mean because Yaakov? Yitzchak
shouldn't
be the person,
and what,
right?
And Yitzchak Avinu loves the Esav because he feeds him. It's, right. it's impossible to understand this pasuk. This pasuk can make no sense.
Yeah, love shouldn't be conditional.
The whole thing makes no sense. It just makes no sense.
Something so.
And what? And even if you want to tell him that Yitzchak loved Esav, he didn't love Yaakov. His sweet boy who does the right thing and doesn't like him. It's impossible to understand.
Maybe he knew he was going to be tricky.
He knew that Yaakov was to be tricky? How would he even know? Yaakov didn't want to be tricky. Yaakov's forced to be tricky. Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. We've read it a million times, right. And it makes no sense.
Also, the pasuk before, at least Pesach has taught me to think that Tom isn't, it's like a negative thing. Simple equals not a positive trait.
Good.
And also with Cain and Hevel,
yes,
that was negative that he would... involved with animals and Hashem rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And the man of the field, the harvester, was more preferred than the man with trappings.
Okay, good. So we don't know. Bottom line is, this doesn't make any sense. So we need help. Okay, good. So we're going to get some help. We'll see what kind of help you like and don't like, but we're going to get some help. Okay, it says Rashi, Ish Sadeh. What does it mean that he's a Ish Sadeh? Kamashmo Adam Batel Vitsoda Bikashto Chayos Ofos. He's a person who doesn't do anything, and he spends his day hunting animals. Okay, you could have argued that hunting animals is
sounds kind of like
not batel. Right. That takes a lot of effort. Okay, fine. But Yaakov is ish tam. Eino baki b'kolei. Doesn't understand all of the stuff that Yaakov, that Esav does. Ela kalibo came befif. Rather, his heart is like his mouth. Misha eino charif l'ramot karui tam. So here, tam. He wants to say, Rashi makes a positive thing, right? That he doesn't know how to, he's to be mystic. He doesn't know how to trick people. He doesn't know how to do, pull moves. He's just like a regular guy. Regular guy, simple, fine. Okay? And he's Yoshev Olim, Olo Shal Shem, Olo Shal Efer. So again, we talked about shame already before, right? But now that's Yoshev Olim. Okay? All this is flexible. All this is, you could make arguments with one or the other. But this is how Rashi's reading it. And Rashi says, why he loves him, ki tzai b'fiv, ki targumo b'fiv shel Yitzchak. Right? Meaning, tzai b'fiv, whose mouth? Because he feeds Yitzchak, right? U'midrasho, so let's just say that's the pshat. B'fiv shel Yitzchak, that he feeds Yitzchak. What does that mean? How do you read the pasuk? That Yitzchak loves Esav because?
He feeds him.
He takes care of him.
Okay.
Right.
Okay? Could we say a more sophisticated way of explaining that idea? We could say he likes them because he likes barbecues. Okay, so that's one way to say it. But what's a more sophisticated way of describing that?
The son is dedicated to him.
Always putting effort into taking care of the dad.
Right. So you could argue, let's be adults reading this, right? Like, tzitzai b'fiv doesn't have to mean like he thought the food he made was tasty, right? But what he means is that Esav was dedicated to him. He would feed him. And we're going to see some of Farshim talk about Yitzchak is blind at this point, right? Yitzchak can't really care for himself. And so the child who kind of spent more time maybe, taking care of his father, in this case maybe was Esav, right? So you could argue, it's not so crazy, that Yitzchak loves Esav Why? Because Esav really cared for him. He developed a special relationship with him because he took, you know, he took an affinity to his father, so his father took an affinity back. Mm-hmm. Possible.
This fave for a second made me actually picture him feeding him. Like, if you're blind, you have trouble.
Yes, maybe. Your food, yeah, maybe actually feeds him.
Your mouth.
So yeah. Like, yeah.
He
good.
Literally puts food in his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, Yitzchak's not making his own meals, right? So he's all right. He needs, like, someone else to do it for him. Okay. Good. Fine. So that's one possibility. And so the possibility, so, and according to Rashi, just said these, and by the way, Rashi doesn't explain Rivka Heves is Yaakov. He doesn't tell you anything. So, like, what would be this explanation why Rivka loves Yaakov?
So he wouldn't be neglected if the father is favoring
Esav. Father's taking care of Esav. Rivka takes care of Yaakov.
Right.
And why love Yaakov? For obvious reasons. Yaakov is each time you're shaved on it. He's the stark, easy child, right? The easy kid who makes it easy to love. And so she's with the easy kid, and he's with the kid who, who makes it a little hard, but who uses his energy at this point for something positive, right? This is not yet that he's doing something dastardly. Right. We do have, okay, but so now umidrasho, but now look at the last line of that Rashi, umidrasho, befiv, not the mouth of Yitzchak, but rather befiv shel Esav. What do you mean? Kitzayid befiv, wasn't that there's Sayid, which literally means like the food he hunts, in the mouth of his father. What do you mean? Shayat sad oso umiramehu bidvarav, right? Because he would hunt him and trick him with his words. Okay, the Midrash Tanchuma explains that what would Esav do? Esav would show up to his father and he'd ask him like klutz kashas. He'd ask him like, "Abba, how do you take shumitz and maestros from salt? You don't take shumitz and maestros from salt, right?" But like, he's so frum that he was asking, like, you know, extra stark questions of his father, right? So that, and why would he do that? So his father would think that he was the Talmud Chacham, but in reality, he wasn't. So why does Yitzchak like Esav? Because Esav tricks him. And why is Yitzchak easier to trick? Because he's blind, right? So he doesn't have all the pieces to see what's happening. So it's easier to trick him. He's older.
He's older.
He's older.
His intellect is good. He should be able to see through his.
Because you can't see
kids.
So pull it back from the blind.
Forget the blind. I said that.
Take it
out. I take it back. Why would he be able to trick him?
He wants to be
trick.
What parent doesn't
want to
see the good in their child?
Okay, good. So maybe Esav is tricking him. And Yitzchak is, as most parents are, many parents, we want to see the good. And so we have a tendency to find the good in our kids and we maybe block out some of the negativity.
Just the fact that he spent time with him is enough. If you go to a nursing home, if you have a parent that's old, which child goes to the parent more, is going to be the one
when it visits more. Yeah, sure.
For that reason alone.
Good. Okay. So, and by the way, could both be true?
Yeah. Like, I feel like I like the first answer because, right, we want to believe that, like, people are good, right? Like, Esav, you always view him as, like, the villain character.
Right.
Like, I like to believe he has some good traits.
Right.
Like, right, maybe he does have bad traits like we all do, but, like, maybe this is his redeeming quality that he does take care of his father. And he's
in fact, the Gemara says that we can learn Kibbutz Avim from Esav.
Right.
That is definitely true. We find that about Esav. Esav was a person who cared a lot for his father. Good. So at this point, we have like a pshat approach in Rashi, which is that Esav was probably the caretaker for his father more. And maybe also, it doesn't have to be either or, his father sees all the good that he does. So he, you know, finds his way to show his father only his good parts. He doesn't talk to him about his negative things that he's doing, which he's involved in for sure some negative things. And again, the Midrash makes Esav the worst guy ever. It's a different conversation why Chazal do that sometimes to certain people. And I think we've talked about that a little bit in the past. Like so extreme, like everything Esav does is bad. Fine. But I think that even putting that aside, we know that some of the things Esav does, he wants to kill his brother at some point. Right? There are enough things that are done in the Torah itself that showed that Esav was not a great guy. But the point being that Yitzchak saw these good qualities in him. Fine. Okay. Look at the Rashbam. Rashbam in source number 3, just by the way, an interesting difference in terms of how you read Yoshev O'Halim. The Rashbam says, Ro'ei Tzon Aviv. Does it mean that he sat and learned all day? That Yaakov was a, Yoshev O'Halim means he was a shepherd. Okay, he would sit in tents out in the wilderness while he was taking care of the animals, or not in the wilderness, wherever they would keep their animals, whatever. Ko Moshe Birashi Etzel Yoshev Ohel Mikneh, back in Parshas Bereishis. So, but the point being, it's not that he's a nobody, he does nothing. He's not sitting around. He's, and by the way, why does it make sense to say he's a shepherd?
It's a classic.
This is why every Jewish, yeah, they're all shepherds, right? Yaakov is a shepherd, and Yosef is a shepherd, and David HaMelech is a shepherd, and everyone's a shepherd. And Moshe Rabbeinu is a shepherd. Everyone's a shepherd, right? So, if you remember the singer Chaim David, right? So he wrote a book. He wrote a song called "The Seven Shepherds," right? So all the different, everyone was shepherds. Okay, fine. He writes, "What does it mean kitzayid b'fiv that Yitzchak love is because kitzayid b'fiv pshuto kitargumo."
Okay.
However you're reading it, that's what it is. But by the way, it could still mean like Rashi, right? That he took care, he fed, he took care of him, right?
You love Rashbam. Fine.
I love Rashbam.
You do.
I love Rashbam. Okay. But Rivka, but now we find someone telling us about Yaakov. Rivka Heves es Yaakov. So why did Rivka love Yaakov? Shehaisa makeres betumaso. She noticed how tamimus duck, how pure he was. V'gam imasha amar meaning she has a nevuah. Remember, the story begins that she has two babies running around in her stomach, and she's like, this doesn't feel right. And she goes to ask a shayla. She doesn't ask her husband, by the way, nor does she ask, but she who is also a navi. But she goes to Shlem Ve'eva, whatever the Medrash says. But Telech LeJorch Zelokim is in the pasuk. Remember, that's not a Medrash. Who she goes to is a Medrash, but she goes to talk to Hashem about it, and she's told Rav Yavod Sayir. Right, you're going to have one of them is going to overcome the other. So she knows what's happening here, right? She knows what's going to happen here. So she already is looking at which one's going to be in charge. V'hutzrach lahakdim kan avas Yitzchak le'esav v'rifka es Yaakov lo'diya mashakasa lefaneinu Yitzchak ratzal levarech esav v'rifka herima levarech es Yaakov. Why does the Torah tell me who loved whom? Don't tell me. It's like, yuck, I don't need to know all the... I don't need to know everyone's business.
It's the setup for what happens.
Right, we don't need to know. I don't need to know everyone's business. So if you want to say this is a negative thing about Yitzchak or a positive, whatever, like, what do I need to know about it? Right? Well, I don't know how they thought about other people. Why are you telling me this? Because this is going to explain the back and forth here that's going to happen, what's going to come later. So we're told this as like an intro to the rest of the story. Fine. But again, we don't really have a huge difference in terms of Rashi and Rashbam, what's happening. In terms of why one likes the other, Rivka understands what's happening with Yaakov here, and Yitzchak sees that Esav takes care of him. Himself. Fine. Take a look at the Ramban, source number 4. The Ramban writes, again, Rashi lives about the year 1050, something like that, to 1100. Rashbam's his grandson, Ramban, 1200. So we're going chronologically, that's not on purpose, but we're going kind of chronologically here, okay? Kitzai b'fiv, Amr Mefarshim, Ibn Ezra, the Radak, ki yitain tzayid b'fiv shay Yitzchak, right? Or he would give food to his father, or yavi, v'yachaser ha-maisa. V'chein l'mod asher Shmuel, et cetera, fine. But I want to see look what he's going to say here now. V'yitachein l'faresh. Second line there, at the end of the line, v'yitachein l'faresh. You could argue. Explain. V'yahav Yitzchak es Esav, bavur ki b'fiv shay Yitzchak tzayid tamid. Kol hayom yis'aveh le'achol es ha-tzayid. That he was like always wanting and interested in eating what he was bringing him. V'tamidu b'fiv was always in his mouth. Lo yochal davar acher, meaning there was no one else who ever fed him. He didn't eat from anybody else, not even Rivka. Right? That Esav was the one who always took care of his meals. V'hu amevi lo kasher amar yish yodei tzayit. And he's the one who always brought him. He was like the expert. He was like the culinary expert here, and it was always coming from him. Okay. But what appears to be, says the Ramban, kihi melitza. That's sort of like, it's sort of like a figure of speech. Ki Esav tzayid b'fi aviv, yechaneh ha'ish b'maaseh letadiruto. Meaning, it was always him, but it was often. It was often, a lot of times. Okay, fine. But the point being that he was there a lot and doing things a lot for him. I think this drives home the idea of Esav as like the caretaker for his father. Ramban's really leaning on that shot.
This doesn't paint
Yitzchak
in the nicest light. I'm getting this
gluttonous
image.
Feels weird, right?
That there's always food in his mouth.
Right.
There couldn't ever be a second that there wasn't
food that he had.
Right, so that's what the Ramban says. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
He says militza.
Like it's
a figure of speech. Right, so that's what Ramban says.
It's
a figure of speech.
Right, it means
right, exactly. Correct. That's why. But that's why I want. That's why we want to talk about this. I think it's very disturbing to us. Mm-hmm. Then think about Yitzchak this way. This is where we're going to get even further.
Wouldn't the woman be the one to be?
Yes. Yeah. That's why it's kind of unusual.
Right.
It's kind of unusual. This
how
idea that like...
come about that right. He became the person to cook and do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But it's very interesting.
Well, I'm waiting for Asa.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that easy.
Yeah, but why?
That's
why
didn't
it ever develop when
your
the kids are little?
No, maybe it's just like
because you want
a
relationship
food,
with
so
your
like,
child.
He was a foodie.
Like, right, his son made food. Like, he liked to see that.
Well, like his son knew what he liked.
Yeah, but
like,
usually the person who hunts brings the food back and then the woman cooks it.
When does the man ever cook it?
Okay, maybe
so. Well, Jenny, in some houses.
Okay, wrong.
Okay, but now I want to move you further along. Okay, so let's keep going. Take a look at the Radak. Source number 5. Says the Radak. Vayehav Yitzchak Esav. Ein tzarech lomar ki Yaakov haya ohev.
Right. We don't have to.
It doesn't say Yitzchak loved Yaakov. It doesn't have to say that, says the Radak. Like, everybody relax.
Okay.
Like Yitzchak hated Yaakov Avinu. It doesn't make any sense. Ki yoter haya ohev Yaakov me Esav. He liked Yaakov more than he liked Esav. Oh, that's awesome. That's okay. That makes me nervous. V'lohaya ohev Esav ela shai mevit sai lamalacho zeush amr befiv. What does that mean?
He wouldn't have loved him if he didn't feed him.
Whoa, but what does it mean?
Like he had to have the literal food that he was giving him in his mouth to remember, oh yeah, I love you too. That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm. So keep reading. Ubasar atzayhu mutam, and the food he would eat would be delicious. Vuhaya zaken yoter mishivim shana, was at least 6-7 years old, at least. Ki lohaya yodea esav latzura chayot bekashato vitalyo ela im haya yoter me'esher shanim. Again, he's 60 when they're born. So like, how old is Esav when he first starts hunting? Like, not younger than 10. He could be older than that, right? So he's at least 70, 75, 80. He's like not a young man, right? V'rivka ha'isa oheves es Yaakov levado lefish ha'holich b'derech chayim ve'esav b'derech maves. And Rivka, the point is that Rivka only loved Yaakov, which is also hard, by the way. We never like to get a Rivka hard time, right? We just give you a hard time. But it's hard, right? Yeah, but that ki lo daish lo hayim is asek b'chachmo v'darach elokim. Ava b'chalo malacha l'asum atzmo b'sakana b'cho yom v'rak v'hayarak pocheiz v'misholel. She's like, you know, he chose it. Every mom wants her son to find a job, but like not such a dangerous one. You know, he's constantly, you know, fighting animals. So he says mitpatel means he was like fooled a little. So the Rav Dak does want to say the Yitzchak was kind of fooled by his son. Is that Yitzchak is already old, an old man. And he can't see. He didn't do anything. But the point is, they tell the story, but the understanding is that Yisrael is already much, it's not that he's blind only, it's that he's much older. He's much older. And of course he loved Yaakov, that's not the question. But Esav, what? How does he get to like Esav? Esav kind of has to like trick him, and Esav, it has to be like an ava tulya b'davar. It has to be an ava that's dependent on something, because Yitzchak knows kind of that Esav is not really up to the best stuff. Okay, so then when he does nice things for him, he like turns on for him a little bit, right? But otherwise, he doesn't really feel that way. But it doesn't mean he liked only Esav. That'd be ridiculous, right? He really likes Yaakov, and he's proud of Yaakov. And Yitzchak and Esav, when he's doing the right thing, he feels good about. So how does he feel that way? Because he tricks him a little bit. He doesn't have a fuller understanding of what's really happening. You think of like an older person, right? Like a grandparent who's really not as with it, right? And doesn't really just see the kids when they come to visit. Oh, it looks so cute, you know. And they, you know, give you one of those, and like they don't really know what's happening in the child's whole life. They just know what the child tells them. Oh, Bubby, I got 100. Oh, you're so smart, right? Like that, right? Like. You're the smartest, so you know, like they don't. That doesn't really know. They don't know what's happening in their life, right? Not because they're, but just they're not at that stage of life anymore.
Doesn't that make yourself a positive light again? It's like it said here, his father's sitting there doing nothing all day, has nothing to do. So he comes, brings him food, tells him things he wants to hear, cheers him up, makes
and
him
he
happy.
Tricks him a little bit, yeah. But it's not terrible.
Negative.
It's not terrible.
You know.
But Rivka, who has a real understanding of what's happening, she's much younger than Yitzchak. We don't know exactly how much younger. You know, this thing that she got married when she was 3 years old, whatever. But like, she's much younger than him, that's for sure. So she has a real sense of what's happening with the boys, right? So she's really in touch in the sense of what's happening here. So she understands that Yaakov is the real, and this is all setting the stage for what's going to happen, her actually tricking her own husband, which is a whole different Shiloh.
And that's not unusual in the family.
What?
That's this whole scenario.
Yeah. One parent understands better.
Doesn't mean they love the other one more, but they see different qualities.
They understand better, etc. Yeah,
but
good.
But the Torah uses the language.
I have.
Right.
Good. So we're not done. Let's keep going. Okay. I want to skip the Kli Yaakov for right now. Because I want us to move along. Not because we love the Kli Yaakov, but we're going to skip right now because I want to get to the last few points. Okay, look at the Sforno. Source number 7. Vayahav Yitzchak et Esav, gam et Esav. Gam. Vayahav Yitzchak et Esav, gam et Esav, right? Af al piche yada beli safik shlohaya shalem ki Yaakov. Okay, here we go. Sforno. Yitzchak knew exactly what was happening. He loved him anyways. Rivka heves es Yaakov levado. Because she understood how bad he was. Okay, so again, maybe still that he didn't understand it as bad, but it wasn't that Yaakov loved only one of them. Okay. But now I want to show you Rav Hirsch, the myth of Yaakov, and then I got to tell you this beautiful idea from Rabelsky. To be sure, says Rav Hirsch, Yitzchak's love for Esav and Rivka's love for Yaakov can be easily, source number 8, sorry. Seven also?
Seven.
Two sevens. Seven. Sorry.
That's okay.
It was a long day today. What can I tell you? Double sevens. If you had 3 sevens, you'd be really lucky. Okay. To be sure, Yitzchak's love for Esav and Rivka's love for Yaakov can easily be explained by the attraction of opposites. Yitzchak, who was an Ola Tamima, withdrew from the commotion of the world. Yitzchak's life, we're going to talk more about this in a minute, was one of withdrawal to a certain extent, right? Yaakov, Avram's out in the world and changing the world. And Yitzchak, right, does more kind of the same thing that his father does. All the stories you read about Yitzchak, for the most part, are the same stories that you read about his father. Which is important, right? Yaakov, Avram is a trailblazer, and Yitzchak now continues the Mesorah. But he's kind of like, he's conservative. He's pretty conservative. What?
He was affected by
that maybe too, yeah. But he withdraws from the commotion of the world. He preferred to dwell in quiet solitude near the well of the living one who sees me, rather than amidst the bustle of human society. It is possible then that Esav's bold and vigorous nature appealed to Yitzchak, and that he saw in Esav the strength which exceeded his own to be the mainstay of the household. Rivka, on the other hand, saw in Yaakov the ideal personality, representing a way of life that she had never known in her father's house. Rivka never saw something like Yaakov, and Yitzchak never saw anything like Esav. Right? And they're both like, ooh, that's exciting, right? And they're both excited by the opposite. And there's something that they each see. It's a very human way of describing this story, that they each kind of see something that's exciting. By the way, if you want to say that Yitzchak saw in Esav something like a vigor and excitement, that could be a very positive thing, even in terms of being the next link in the chain. Because everyone can't just be a Yitzchak Avinu. It's not going to work. Right, for the leadership of Klal Yisrael going forward, you're going to need someone who's out in the world and doing things and being successful and knows how to interact with people, etc. Yitzchak's personality wasn't going to work for that. And maybe he was nervous that Yaakov couldn't either. Right? And seeing that in Esav, he saw, hey, this is something that really maybe we can work with here. Right? And there's an idea that there might be something there that could have happened, that could have worked there. So take a look in source number 8. Source number 8 is a sefer Michtam Eliyahu from Eliyahu Dessler. And if Dessler writes the following. Vihine, zeborur. It is obvious. She Yitzchak Avinu alav ha-shalom yada sha'esav haya chitzoni. Right, that he knew that Esav was a outdoorsman, or maybe even outside of the normal, what he was looking for in his, model of what his children are going to be. Kamash ma'ud ha-yakut. Meaning, he knew that Esav was troubled a little, right? But maybe he didn't know how far Esav had gone, right? Sometimes, like, this is always true with our kids, right? Like, we know our kids are doing something, maybe, but it's like not our favorite. But we don't know exactly like how far it's going right now. Like, I don't know what they're really. They don't always. Once our kids get to a certain age, we don't know everything that they're doing. right? And they go off on their own, and we don't know, and even teenagers, right? You don't know. You hope they'll tell you, they'll talk to you, but you don't really know what's happening with that, with their friends, etc. So he knows it's, you know, it's not exactly what I want, right? But maybe he didn't realize how far this had gone, right? Shehemis konitza tovshu. He had killed all of the goodness inside of himself. Vinasa hasar shalo tochno haprimi samael, right? That he had become like a little, like become like this, like, you know, the devil, whatever that means exactly. Dahanu asatan. Zeu haniskar bezohar shalo yada mimaisa is. What that's what it means, that he didn't know. Meaning he didn't know. Yisrael had no idea. He didn't have no idea. He didn't know akadekach how far to God, which is reasonable for most parents who don't realize until sometimes they see, and then they're shocked, or the kids tell them, and then they can't believe it. And the kid's like, "You don't have no idea," and they're like, "How was I supposed to know? You're my kid. I assume you're doing the right thing, right?" We assume that about our children. Ubazem avur lama ratz levarichet Esav alod Yaakov. That explains us, why do you want to get the bracha to Esav, not Yaakov? Why would he do that? He knew that Yaakov was a tzaddik who stays inside and just kind of like, you know, enters shilas and, you know, just like very, you know, tmimistic. And so Yaakov, how am I going to give Yaakov? By the way, the two brachos are not the same bracha. If you notice in the story, Yaakov gets two brachos. He tricks his father for the Esav bracha, and then before he leaves, his father gives him the Birchas Avraham. Okay? Meaning, Yaakov was always going to get that bracha. That's right. That second bracha Yaakov was always supposed to get. The bracha of being the next link in the chain for Avraham Avinu. That was always coming to Yaakov. He was the spiritual heir. The question was, what was going to be, and a lot of Mepharshim say this, what was going to be, who was going to be the physical heir? Yeah. And the possibility was, maybe Esav would. Maybe they'd work together. Right? And the bracha that he's, by the way, the bracha that Yaakov, that was supposed to be Esav's bracha, becomes Yaakov's bracha, is the bracha of Yitain Lacha, that we say actually on Motzei Shabbos. But like, that's a bracha of Gashmias. It's a Gashmias bracha. It's a bracha of Yitain Lacha, Lakim, Etal, Shmai, Mishmanei, Haaretz. It's all about the physical world, right? And so maybe he thought...
Abraham gave, it says at the end of the last parsha, that Abraham gave Yitzchak the share of, I don't remember the exact words, but what the Bechor would get. And Ishmael inherited him, but only physical things.
Correct. Correct.
He didn't
correct.
Just ignore Ishmael, right. But the physical things.
Correct. So he's planning to give something to him, but he doesn't in the end, right? And but that's why maybe he thought, like, what's that? I'm supposed to give the bracha to Esau? Like, what's wrong with Yaakov? What's wrong with Yitzchak? The answer is nothing wrong with him. He knew he was challenged, but he thought he could still be that person who, in the physical world, he'd be the, you know, the guy on Capitol Hill doing the stuff you got to do, talking to the politicians, etc. And Yaakov would give the shir in the yeshiva, right? Like that. That's what he thought maybe he'd have, right? Well, if he that toe, davkim pnei zed lo haya roilati that lo abracha. You shouldn't give it to Yaakov. Shehein siyu yimichitzoniin. These are out. These are things for the outside world. Ach bechashvo at esav the lochem umitlabet lehit gaber al tachuno tav haraot. He thought that Yaakov was a person. Some of my children, like I call them, you know, yeah, my mom used to say that. Like, you see all their names, you know. He thought that Esav was fighting an internal battle. Esav's fighting himself. He's trying. He's working on it, right? So who needs the bracha? Esav needs the bracha because Esav is the one who doesn't come so easy. He's struggling. It's harder for him, right? Sometimes, right? We have kids who it's easier for them and some kids who are harder for them. And what happens a lot of times, we spend a lot more time sometimes with the one who's struggling, mm-hmm. to the extent that the one who has it easier, we actually have to worry that we shouldn't be ignoring them, mm-hmm. right? Right, and that's the struggle with parenting, right? So the same thing here. He almost like, who does he give all the attention to? He gives all the attention to Esav, right? So he has to give him a bracha. She yistayeh b'derech avodah so, to help him with his avoda. V'lachein kasov v'yehav Yitzhak es Esav ki ava he told us nesina. This is a beautiful idea. What does ahava come from? How does a person come to love someone?
Taking care of them.
By giving to them. Right? The whole world talks this way. It's so yucky. What am I getting out of my relationships? Right? That is not the way a Jew talks about relationships. I don't think, by the way, not a Jew. A person who's successful in relationships. Jew, non-Jew. Right? Success in relationships comes from how much am I giving? What am I investing? When I invest in someone, I love them. Rav Dessler has a whole long piece on this topic, right? On this idea of ahava. Ahava milashon hav. Ahava ha means to give. Right? And that we love the people to whom we give. We love people in which we invest. Right? That's why on Purim we give mishloach manos, right? To breed connection by giving. Right? The more that I give, the more I invest, the more I love. So why does Yitzchak love Esav? Because he invested in him so much more. Because he needed it. Right?
Rabbi Sacks says if you have two children and you're not so thrilled with what one of them is doing, how do you go? And your neighbor's going to say, how do you love that child? And Rabbi Sacks says, love that one more.
Right. But tell them you love them the same. just kidding. We always know, but it's true. By the way, I always say to my kids, like, we love you all the same. Doesn't mean we do the same.
Right.
We can love you the same, but doesn't mean we treat you the same. Right. V'haya tamid notein siyu al Esav. He was constantly helping Esav. V'haya mekarvo u'mechavavo ma'od. He was bringing him close and loved him so much. V'la'od elafish shalafi da'ato haya ro'e be'esav ota ofen shalavoda shemile yas tochan chayafu. He saw so much in him. He filled his life with this. Avoda shal hit gabrut timidit akashim pinimim. What was the midah of Yitzchak? The midah of Avram is chesed. What is the midah of Yitzchak? Gavura. What is gavura? Gavura does not mean Yitzchak was not a big, strong guy. Right, Yitzchak's whole life, actually, right, is learning to retract himself to a certain extent, right, to not respond, to do things even when they're hard, right, to hold the line. Avram was new and chiddish; everything he did was beautiful and new. Yitzchak's job was to keep things the same, to redig the same wells, right. Yet Yitzchak's whole life is about keeping things as they were. Continuity, but it's not easy to do. And because you want it, maybe you want to stray. You want something new and exciting is easier, right? It's more fun. It's exciting, and he holds the line, keeps things the same. That's a midas ha-gevura that Yitzchak Avinu had. Okay, gevura means inner strength. It's an inner turmoil. Sometimes he sees the inner turmoil in his son, and he says, "They're not different. It's not that they're opposites. There's a certain element of them that's the same." The ability to fight, the internal fight inside yourself, he sees that in Esav, and so he feels connected to him.
He grew up with that, living with Ishmael also.
Good, yes. Yeah, to a certain age, yeah. Okay? V'alkein haya ohavo biyoter. That's why he loved him more. He felt more natural connection to him. V'zeu ha'amar b'zohar kozina rechayim lezinei. We tend to like, we find ourselves connected to children sometimes that more have our natural tendencies. I love this pshat because it's so much more human. It makes so much more sense to me, right? This is not Yitzchak as like a chalila, like some dope. It can't be. It's just not, it doesn't make sense, right? Getting duped by his son and like if he's an old man, and that's why the Chazal make him like this old man at times, like who was already too old to understand, fine. But like, then it, at least it makes sense because if it was Yitzchak who had all his faculties, it would make no sense. But this, I love because it turns the whole thing around, and it makes a lot of sense. It's very logical. Right? That's what he saw, so he invests more, etc. And then, so if that's all true, so why does Rivka still trick him and bring Yaakov to get the brachos?
She didn't.
She's holding
one. Because
she grew up in a house where things were not like that.
She knew what the real world was like.
Right.
Good. And she saw what was really happening. Right, and she knew what was really going on here.
Step in, what's going
to
happen?
And she didn't go to Yitzchak to talk to him about it. That's a different conversation why she didn't go to talk to him about it. But Yitzchak is holding out that Yosef can do this, and she's like, sweetheart,
it's
not going to happen. Right? It's not going to happen. Right? And she was right. Right? In the end of the day, she's right that Yosef was the wrong guy. But like, fine. So that's a pshat that's what it is. But I want to share with you one last pshat, which I think they go together. And this is the pshat of Rabbi Shaul Belsky, Zatzal Sad. Belsky was one of the big posts for the OU, just passed away a few years ago. Belsky said, this whole Mahalach, he doesn't quote this idea from Rabbi Dessler, but a similar idea. But he says, you can actually use this to explain the language of the Pasuk. Vayehav Yitzhak es Esav ki tzayin b'fiv. He loved Esav, why? Because he had tzai b'fiv, because he would eat his meat. He said, what's the pshat? He says, everyone had, right, they tell a story there. Rav Soloveitchik one time, he came to, in the Maimonides Minyan, where the Rav Davin in Boston. So they would daven Mincha, and then they'd wait like a half hour, and then they'd daven Marv. Then daven Mincha Marv back to back. So one time he went over to one of the Gabayim in the Minyan. It's a guy, a person there, and his name is Mo Fierstein. I think it's Mo Fierstein is his name. And he said, Mo, can you do me a favor? Can you teach me the rules of baseball? He's like, the Rav Soloveitchik. He's like, okay. So he sits down with the Rav, and he starts explaining to him, like, three strikes and you're out, and ball four, and like, whole story. So what? Tell you the story before? Yeah. So he says to him, okay, like, they finish, and he's like, can I ask the Rav, like, why do you want to know this? He says, because my grandchildren are coming to visit, and I want to be able to talk to them about what matters to them. Right? So Rebelsky says, that's the pshat. Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav kitzayid b'fiv. Yitzchak didn't care about hunting. He wasn't interested in the barbecue. But he knew that Esav was.
He needed a connection.
So he would be interested in the tzayid b'fiv, and that was Vayehav Yitzchak Esav ki, not because, that was the way. That was the entrance to loving his son, was finding interest in the thing that interested him. And by doing that, that was his way of trying to connect. And that's why Yitzchak loves the meat of his son. Not because he really liked it. He was a vegetarian, I don't know, whatever. But his son liked it, right? Oh, can you make me this kind? Tell me more about smoking meat. Tell me more about da-da-da. Explain it to me, sweetheart, right? And he found his way to be interested in that which his son was interested in. And that was his way, his angle in, to at least give it a shot. It didn't work in the end. It didn't work in the end. But that was the way he did it.
That explanation makes so much sense. Why isn't it put forth more?
Right? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But it also, by the way, it's the same midas hagvura. That's hard for a father. That's hard for a parent, right? To get interested in, like, I don't know, like if my, whatever. So if your kids are interested in the same thing you're interested in, it's easy. If your kid's interested in like stuff that you don't like, it's hard.
Like Minecraft.
Right, yeah, whatever. Yeah, Minecraft. Whatever it is that they like. Or whatever, you don't like sports and your kid's into sports. Or you don't, whatever it is that you don't find interesting, but your child does. By the way, or like kids love like dumb videos today. They want to like show you a video.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't really care to see the video of the guy doing the funny thing, but if you want to show it to me, and it's hard, that's, some of us struggle with that. Right, but all of us, in our own way, there are things that our kids care about that we don't really care about. And to find our way to invest in the thing that they care about because they care about it is such an amazing, amazing thing. I told a story once in shul, when my father did this. And in 1995, before the Red Sox had won anything ever, my whole life they won nothing ever. So like 1995, they were going to clinch the American League East, like wins the division. It was like the biggest deal ever because they lost everything, always. And I still remember, like, I told the story in shul. I called my dad and I said, Dad, like, this is 1995, you cannot buy tickets online. You called the box office to like reserve tickets. You told them your name, gave you a credit card over the phone. I don't know what you did. So I called my dad. My dad worked every day throughout the whole day. He would come home, he'd have dinner with us, and then he'd go up to his office and he would work most of the night, calling patients and records or whatever. So I called my dad. I'm like, Dad, they're going to clinch tonight if they win. Can we go to the game? And he's like, you got it. You know, and we went to the game and they clinched it. And like, I was 11. What did I know? Like, I don't know how much work he had that night. He didn't do, right? And like, but I remember that forever, right? Didn't change my whole life. Didn't change my whole life. I might throw him because I don't know. But like, no, I'm saying, let's not be like, no, no, I'm saying, but that's not, I'm saying, let's not be ridiculous. I didn't change my whole life. But I remember it.
It did. Because but I remember it.
Right. Because I remember that. And when I say to my kids, you know what? Forget it. Let's go. And they're like, whoa, really? You know, like, right? You remember that. And they remember that. Right? Those are the moments when they want to do something and you say, all right, let's do it. And you know that look in their face. You're like, wow, really? Like, but doesn't that cost whatever? Yeah, it does. Let's go, right? And it's like, and you don't, and you have other things to do. Because we all have other things to do. I have other things. We all have other things to do. Except that is the most important thing for us to do, right? And it's like, what?
True love.
Yeah, and that is true love, right? When you invest, when you don't have the time, when you don't have the interest, when you don't really care, but they care. Right, that's the truth. That's the truest love there is, maybe. Right, and that's Vayehav Yitzchak. That now Yitzchak, I love this because that would take Yitzchak from being like whatever they portray him as, and see him as what I think is, you know, a very, very plausible, very reasonable approach to how he really, really was trying to parent both his kids. which was probably a very difficult thing for him. And, you know, who knows how he felt about it, how it turned out. And it's probably very painful for him to see how Esav became in the end. That's probably a hard thing for him. But I think this gives him more to say, you know, more to think about.